For the New Testament reading, I'm going to read from the Gospel of John. It's the creation story told in kind of a theological way, told with a focus on Jesus, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What had come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and full of truth. From his fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. I have lived long enough that I can brag and say that I remember the first Earth Day celebration. It was in 1970. I was 9 years old, and we had a teacher in school who decided we would make Earth Day posters and put them in the hallway. And I think I made a big picture of an earth or a flower or a tree or something like that. Now, honestly, I didn't think too much about Earth Day again until 8 years ago when it was the 40th anniversary of Earth Day. And then I learned about the man who started it in the first case, Senator Gaylord Nelson. He was a senator from Wisconsin, and he was always, as a young boy, amazed and concerned about the earth and about the environment. He grew up with no TV, but with woods in the back of his yard, and that was his playground. And he decided as a young man, the main street of his little town did not have trees. So he went to the city council and said, "We need to plant trees," and they told him no. So then he went and talked to neighbors and friends and probably his church, and went back to city council, and they said yes. It was his first kind of foray into political organizing. And when he was 55 and a senator, he was caught by the terrible oil spill in Southern California. Maybe some of you remembered that. There were thousands of birds were killed, and it ravaged the It was actually just so bad in California. And he was shocked that in the Senate, no one seemed to be addressing it. No one was really concerned about this travesty and making sure that something like this did not happen again. And he had witnessed around him the power of teach-ins that happened in Vietnam. And he decided in the Vietnam War, and he decided that he would have a teach-in about the environment. So he persuaded Senator Pete McCroskey, who was a Republican, a conservation-minded Republican, they would call him, that they needed to have an Earth Day. And so they co-sponsored this event. And on that day, 20,000 people met in gyms and parks and classrooms to talk and rally about a healthy earth. And there were massive rallies on the East Coast and on the West Coast and everywhere in between. The media and the powers that be didn't pay much attention to Earth Day. Didn't pay much attention how people were getting involved and committed to change. They have once called it the most famous unrecognized event ever. And what was so fabulous about that day is less than a year, what came out of that were the EPA was founded, the Clean Water Act, the Environmental Protection Act, Clean Air Act, all those things that were formed out of that day. But what was really amazing about that day is it in some ways was bipartisan. The Republican and the Democrat got together to do that day, and it had a really interesting pairing of people that would never come together usually. There were rich and poor, city slickers and farmers, tycoons and labor advocates came together with a force that the world had not seen before. And that's why those Environmental Protection Acts came out of that. Well, while I can say I was there at that first Earth Day in the U.S., I was not there at the first Earth Day. And those of you that say, really, you're not so old, and I've had my ARP card so long, they don't even ask to show my discount at the movie theater. That first Earth Day, none of you were alive then. The first real Earth Day was when God created the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, light and dark, water and land, all vegetation, all things that fly and creep and swim. And after 5 days, God said, it was good. Did you notice that? Every time it'd say, this is a good thing, God's creation. And the intention of that was to reflect who God was and speaks about a relationship between creation and God. And did you notice God spends 5 days doing the earth and the sky and the wind and the rain and the creatures? And how long does God spend on humankind? One. I don't know what it says. I just find it interesting. And God calls it blessed, good. Walterman Brueggemann reminded me that the word good has not so much a moral quality about it, but an aesthetic quality. It could be translated as lovely and pleasing and beautiful. And in those words, I kind of understand love and delight and wonder and pleasure. That God took that kind of joy in that and was fed in spiritual ways. And the story continues. On the sixth day, humankind is created in God's image. And God gave humankind dominion over all creation. And that word dominion needs a bit of unpacking too. Many translations, maybe the ones you grew up with, said God gave human or man master over all that was created. And when you use the word master, it kind of has a sense that it's all mine and I can take what I need. But the word dominion is very different. It comes from the same kind of root as the word we use for shepherd, to care for sheep. And it's the same word for the good shepherd, the shepherd who cares and feeds and tends the flock, who puts the sheep's need before their own. It means securing the well-being of the creature. And so when it's used in this way, we are to care for and be good stewards of all of creation. It has nothing to do with just getting everything we need, get kind of caught, or taking all we need. It has more to do with how do I take what is necessary and make sure that everyone has enough. I think sometimes we get domination and dominion mixed up. And dominion talks about more of a covenantal relationship between us and creation. It kind of affirms that the creator and creation have to do with each other. We're in relationship and we can't be thought apart, thought about, or understood apart from God's creation and God's love. And when we're in covenantal relationship with creation, I think in some ways we're in relationship with God. And are reminded that we're really here because of God's will and God's love for us. And I think some of us get the sense of the beauty and just the way that outdoors kind of feed us. In San Francisco, where there is so much cement, don't you kind of relish when the day is sunny and you get to sit down on a bit of green in a park or in a bench just for a moment? It kind of renews us. I think when you're outside, it connects you to something bigger than yourself. I know that there was one of your members that was very ill, but even though as ill as he got, once a week he would get on a bus and go out to Ocean Beach and just sit. Didn't matter if it was cold or misty or sunny, just went out to feel the power of the waves and the sand and the sky. And he said, that kept me alive longer than medicine. Martin Luther, the founder of the Reformation, said, God writes the gospel not on the Bible alone, but upon trees and in the flowers and in the clouds and the skies. This relationship with creation renews us and refocuses us, and I think feeds us. The Genesis story kind of calls us to delight and celebrate and have the sense of thanksgiving, but it also has a bit of confession in it. Confession that we have not always treated God's creation well. We've not been good stewards. We've acted more like the boss than the shepherd. And I have to admit, it's hard not to want it all. Greed just kind of gets in there and takes over us. But I think what's interesting about Christians is we have this long-term view of creation, that it's not just for us, but it's for those that will come after us. And that's our gift to the subject. We are thankful as a church, as a Christian people, that there are people that thought about us long ago. I think about Armstrong State Park. Has anyone been to that in Guerneville, Redwoods? Oh my Lord, we need to go on a church trip there. It's gorgeous. It's just in Guerneville, or Guerneville as you call it now. When I was a girl, it was Guerneville, but I've been corrected. Guerneville, does anyone know what its name used to be? Stump Town. Because when they were doing the logging, they cut everything out, you know, just down there, and they called it Stump Town. They wanted to make it a little nicer, so they called it Guerneville. But there was, in the late 1800s, you know, 1890s or so, one big tract of land, about 440 acres, that a family had kept. And the family wanted to make sure that those redwoods would be protected. They had made a lot of money off the rest of it, but when they saw what was happening in Stump Town, they wanted to do something. And the land came to one single daughter. Her name was Lizzie Armstrong. And late in life, she married the parson, Parson Jones. And they together were able to make sure that land got to the county of Sonoma for a really good price, so it could be made into a state park. And Lizzie, the daughter of the man who had got the land, even put $5,000 in it to make sure the sale would happen. And because of that, we have this beautiful redwoods. It's people thinking about further generations. And it was there, so when I went there after Easter, my soul got renewed walking amidst those trees. And we as humans do struggle between beauty and our own needs for what we have to survive. And it's hard because really we need wood and we need oil and we need lots of things. But how can we make sure our greed doesn't take over? Gandhi said, the earth provides enough to satisfy every man's need, but not every man's greed. Oh, I thought that was so interesting. Enough for every need, but not for every greed. And for us in the U.S., that's particularly important because, you know, don't we consume about 90 to 95% of the Earth's resources, and we're not that much of the population. And I think one of the things we as Christians can bring to the world, it's a sense that we can care about the whole earth, many people that we may never see. It's not just about us. That we can care for others in a covenantal way. Just as Jesus comes to redeem all creation, it means people and earth and creatures and cultures. I'm caught that the Presbyterian Church, the part of the family that you've chosen to be a part of, that we have built fresh water wells in Mexico and taught people how to get clean water and how to reuse it for many purposes. And there are places in Africa and South America where our money, your money, is being spent to make solar stoves, teaching people how to use solar stoves that don't cause asthma and smoke and don't take away all the trees and make people healthier. You wouldn't think about that, but our money goes to care for people we may never see but are part of our family. But I have to admit, I'm kind of sad this Earth Day. I'm caught that it's only 8 years from the last time I talked about it, and we're kind of in worse shape. The EPA, the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act that are being repealed, or parts of it are being rolled away. Now, I suspect some of the rules probably needed some change, because, you know, sometimes we make rules that make no sense. But they tend to be rolled away now and changed, not because of what is good, but I think of some greed and some sense of the immediacy and not being able to look long-term. I think we have our gift of looking long-term. And we also are a people of vision. I mean, it's hard to talk about anything that sounds political in the pulpit. I was back with my friends from the South last week, and you know what? If they even mention those things, they can have people leave the church. And it's not about really the current administration so much, but how does our faith work itself out? See, I long for us being a model of where bipartisan issues are important. See, I just can't believe that everything is Republican and everything is Democrat. I am not willing to believe it. I believe that issues about the environment, caring about God's creation, can bring people together. So we can start to learn how to talk with each other well. I mean, in some ways, San Francisco is lovely because we think everyone thinks just like us. You know that isn't true. But how do we learn to talk with people that differ from us so we actually learn something? It is happening in the U.S. around environmental issues. In South Carolina, the rolling back of the Clean Water Act and care for not having offshore drilling has frightened them incredibly. And so different parties are getting together and talking about how they're going to say no to this. The Republican governor is talking to the administration, and greenies and fishermen are talking together. People that run tourist industry and people who work for the EPA are talking together, and they're saying, we care about this coast, we care about its long-term effects, and we're not going to let this happen. It's energizing people. It's not a formal movement. It's cities and towns and counties that are saying, not here. So I hope that this issue gives us a chance to learn how to be civil again. Wouldn't that be something? To learn to talk with our brothers and sisters. And I got to say, around the environmental issue, your Presbyterian Church, because they listen to you, have made some changes in how we spend our money. Now, that's where it gets tricky. I'm going to be environmentally friendly, but I don't want that paper to cost anymore. I mean, or I'll turn off my lights, but I don't really want to pay for that free and clean energy. It could cost a little bit more. You people said to the General Assembly, we want you to divest from fossil fuel. Came up from a local church to the General Assembly, and now our pension fund is working with a group that will take all our money out of fossil fuel and work with folks that do environmental good. We may lose a little money, but we've said it was important. They're doing it. It's putting our faith and our care together. So I wonder what we as a church will do. I think we start in small ways, and we do the small ways and small practices because it reminds us we're part of something big. Now, 8 years ago, I challenged you. I got out my sermon. Oh, I was a little more optimistic then. I talked about how we were going to change all the light bulbs and go to recycled paper, and we'd have a committee together to address these issues. Well, you did get LED lights. Thanks, Steve. You worked on that. And we don't have recycled paper, but we have, I don't know, it's called sustainably sourced paper. And we're composting a bit more. We do downstairs, but we don't have compost bins in the bathroom. And we can recycle plastic now, but there's no places to recycle in the church, and we use a lot. It's like we have to think as a group together. And it can't just be the pastor getting all worked up on something, because, you know, that's what it is. I still long for a group of people to come together and say, how do we as a church witness for our care of the world and our care for each other? Because we are called the resurrection people. We're people of hope. And that's what we offer to the world, a sense of long-term care, a sense it's not just about us, but it's about other people, a sense that we can talk civilly together to work for a greater good. We offer that to the world. It's about connection and care, moving us from greed to make sure that everyone has enough. And that's the beauty of a day like this, that we can remember the God that created the world is the same God who created us, who entrusted us to be stewards of all of God's people and all of creation. So I charge you this day to go out and let the beauty of God's creation breathe life into your soul, and to move you to make sure that you care more than you thought you could. Let us be hope to the world and hope and help to each other. Thanks be to God. Amen.